Welcome to another edition of What's the Point podcast, where we discuss the word in a relatable way that leads to life and culture change. I'm Jonathan Walton, teaching pastor here at Point Church, and I'm joined by a man of many talents, but pastor of no one, as Duran always says, Philip Spence.
Yeah, I was wondering, it seems like Duran sounded a lot different today. Yeah. What's up, guys?
Yeah, and the answer to prayer, the God can extraordinaire, Danielle Spence.
Hey, y'all.
And the world-famous, multi-talented, multilingual producer, Brian.
Bonjour.
There we go. So, before we get started, I just have to say, Philip, there's this picture of you floating around, and I'm going to post this on Friday, because you remind me of Rick Moranis from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, like that nerd dude, you know, with the big glasses, and you have to see this picture, take a look at it, I'm going to post it, because he is, like, gloved up to the max, he's got, I think, like a raincoat on, some rubber boots, it's like, it's terrible. What were you doing?
I was spraying for bugs. You know, we just moved out to the country.
We bought a house,
yeah. And yeah, it's got a lot of bugs. That's an understatement. We probably had 100 frogs on the house. So
it is true.
So I was doing everything possible to get all the bugs away.
He's been doing the research and found the right pesticide.
Yeah. Actually, with Duran, I don't know if Duran talked about that last week or not, but yeah, same thing he was using.
I got you. I heard the Orkin man gave you a job when he passed by.
he offered me one for sure.
Our neighbors were looking out their window, wondering, who is that?
you have to see this picture. It was pretty scary looking. I mean, Halloween is around the corner. You should bring that out.
Hey, I could. There you go.
Possibly scare a few kids, maybe. Yeah, it was pretty terrible. So how's the house thing going? Y'all settling in?
Yeah, it's a lot of work, but it's good.
Yeah, I thank God for it every day. It's so much space and privacy.
Awesome. Oh, yeah. Awesome. Well, that's great. And I know we said congratulations last week, but congratulations, guys. I know it's a big step for you, and we're glad that you were able to do it.
Yes, we're more adults now.
More adults.
We're adulting.
One more thing, Philip, is I heard you have a list kind of that you've been accumulating for, what do you call that list? A housewarming type
housewarming
thing?
Housewarming, yeah.
And I heard that Danielle's stuff has kind of got pushed to the bottom because you've, like, filled out a whole list of stuff that you want.
What I'm learning is there's a lot of things you need. You need pressure washers. You need you need poisons. You need all kinds of hoses.
What do you need the pressure washer for?
Extension cords.
Yeah, why do you need a pressure washer?
I'm going to get those frogs off the side of the house. That's what I'm going to get.
I can see it now, those frogs flying everywhere. So if you do happen to get Danielle and Philip a housewarming gift, make sure to pay special attention to the bottom of the list, please.
Please.
And let's get her some stuff that she needs. And
look, we need an extension cord. It's very critical stuff.
No, we need towels for the kitchen.
We already have towels. We do not need those.
We need more.
And a fiddle fig.
And a fiddle fig.
And a fiddle fig.
Oh, this fiddle fig.
She still does not have her fiddle fig.
Okay. Yeah, she does not. She does not have it yet.
All right, so we're going to get to the word, discussing the word in a relatable way as we always mention. And wasn't that a great message from Pastor Jared this Sunday? Your history is not a curse. And
yeah, it was a great message.
During that message, he talked about how God will use your past to empower you for the future, that your history will bring growth. Your history will always serve a purpose. And I just love that. He talked about how your history doesn't have to be a curse. It can be a blessing if you don't waste the grace, don't waste the mercy, don't waste the lesson that God's trying to bring in your life. And he said that God's teaching you some things today that will be your history tomorrow, and you can learn from that history, and if you do, it'll be a blessing for your future. And that is what a great message. Your history doesn't have to be a curse.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's very true. Yeah, my history's taught me a lot, so it does not have to be a curse, like you said.
Yeah, he talked about how all things work together for good, and he said that's the good things and that's the bad things. That's the history you want to remember and the history you want to forget. Mm-hmm. And I just love that. It's such an encouraging message. And I know I talked to several people after the message that felt like it's one of the best messages they've heard this year. It was just an all-around uplifting, powerful message. So if you didn't get a chance to listen to it, go back and listen to it. We'll post a link for you. Go back and listen to it. Great message.
Yeah, it was really great.
So,
yeah, I'm going to argue that being the great message. I think all the messages being preached are so good. I don't know if I can say it was the best, but it was really good though too. Wow. But Pastor Jared preaches great messages every week.
So. He does. I look forward to hearing him.
He does. But, and Wednesday nights have been pretty lit lately,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on. So you should tune in anytime you get the chance. It's a lot going on.
Oh, yeah.
Great. Yep.
Awesome.
So one thing that he did talk about, we're just going to dive right in here. He made the argument for taking notes. And I just love that. I always, when I preach, I say that if you take notes, you just automatically get a pass to go to heaven. That's just how I feel about it.
Yeah.
I'm kind of joking there, but kind of not. But I
wouldn't be going to heaven.
I do see the value of taking notes. Danielle and the other, she's sitting across from me here. By the way, Daron couldn't be with us today, and we miss you, man. I know you're going to listen to it later. We really miss you being here.
Yes, we miss you.
But she's sitting in your chair, so she's looking right across at me, and she doesn't agree with the taking notes thing. So we're going to kind of discuss that a little bit. So, Danielle, why don't you take notes?
Well, number one, I find myself never going back to look at them. But I do think it helps me remember the message better if I do take notes. When I take notes, though, I don't interact as much in the service, and I wonder what people think because I take notes on my phone.
Ah, yeah. And a lot of people do that these days, taking notes on the phone. So, yeah, I can see that. Kind of people think you're playing a game or something.
Yeah, I hear you about going back and looking at them. It's a struggle. Mm-hmm. I think that, though, it's just something, it's a discipline that you could add. So I'm not saying me too, because mm-hmm. I don't do it either. I take notes and then I'll remember. You know, I never look back at them.
Yeah.
But if I would start going back to them, and if the thing about what's great about like iPhone notes as well is that if you have a question or thought, you can just search in your notes and it'll bring that up. So you can actually just say, you know, if there's something, you know, like I know 2 years ago, Pastor Jared preached something that would help me with this situation. Mm-hmm. You can just start typing in things and you'll find it within your notes.
That's cool.
So that's one good reason to keep those notes. And then, you know, if we can, as a family, me and you, Danielle, we can work on actually going back and looking at those notes. And that's something we do actually a little bit whenever we look at the Point Church devotions that are put out every week. So whenever we look at the devotions, we go back through that and we talk about the notes as well. But so that I think that, you know, for me, sorry, did you have something else you were going to say? I don't want to cut you off and go into my thoughts here. So for me, note taking is important. I agree with you on that. I do struggle. I take notes for sermons, but then I struggle to go back and look at them. And I need to add that as something for me, because for me, after I've heard that message 2 weeks later, no matter how good the message was, mm-hmm. it's out of my head. Yeah, I wish I could remember it, but I struggle.
And honestly, that's why I'm big on note-taking. But let me define note-taking, because I think that some people think that when we say take notes, you think we're expecting you to like almost catch every word that's being said and have some 10-page script at the end of the message. When I take notes, sometimes I come away with a full page of notes, 2 pages of notes. Sometimes I come away with 2 sentences. I just, as the minister speaking, whenever God hits me with something that, man, that was good. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that was for me. I'll write that down because, like you said, 2 days later, I'm not going to think about it. Or I'm going to think about, man, there was something in that message that God really spoke to me. I can't remember what it was. Yeah. So I've learned to write that down and I will go back to it. It's easier for me to go back to things. I feel like when God speaks to me in a message, it's because he's wanting me to contemplate something and consider it, meditate on it. And that's the way I view the word. I'm a big proponent that I think it would be better for you to read one verse for a whole week and meditate, marinate in that verse and get what God's trying to get you to say than to, at the end of the week, say, well, I read 100 verses. What did you apply? Well, I don't know. I read so much. So I think the word of God, for it to come alive to you, you need to marinate in it. You need to meditate it.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. And so when God speaks to you, write that down. And not just in the message. I've learned, I keep a notebook by my bed. And sometimes in the middle of the night, I'll wake up and have a thought or a dream I was having that there was, I've dreamed I was preaching a certain message and woke up and wrote that down, because so many times in the past I would get up the next morning, or I would tell myself, I'll remember that tomorrow. That was so good. I'm going to remember in the mm-hmm. morning. And then I woke up the next morning. I'm like, man, what was that? And I never remembered it. Yeah. So now I write all those things down. I think that is really, really important that you write down.
So do you take notes on your phone or in a notebook?
I take notes more in notebook, but I'm kind of old school. I'm a paper and pen kind of person.
So where do you keep all these notebooks?
Don't ask Corey that question. I have notebooks stored everywhere, but I have notebooks that are for certain things. I have notebooks that are for messages, notebooks that are podcast thoughts, notebooks that are quote thoughts. I break down meeting notes, like all kind of stuff. I break them down. So I think the important question isn't should you take notes. I think just me, I think everybody should take notes, just know how to take notes.
Right.
Don't try to capture every word, but if God speaks to you, write that thing down. And I think as Pastor Jared mentioned, there are plenty of scriptures in the Bible that talk about write this down, meditate it, meditate on it. You know,
I really like that. I mean, I think my note-taking may need to evolve a little bit there because I don't write everything down, but I write, you know, I try to get a lot of the main points, but where I, you know, I may need to evolve it a little bit to more of what God's speaking to me at that time. So I really like that.
Yeah. So I think we kind of started off with a disagreement. We don't, Danielle saying she don't take notes. I was saying I do take notes, but I think we're kind of on the same page.
Right.
We take notes the same. So what would be some advice, Danielle, Philip, that y'all would give on taking notes? I know you said you got to get better at it, but Danielle, you still kind of, you take notes. How would you tell people to, what kind of notes or how would you tell them to take notes to get more effective at it?
Well, I try to be sensitive to whatever. I think God's tugging on my heart about, and that's what I write down about. Like I did have something on my phone that I felt like God wanted me to pray for a week, you know, and that was I guess I'll let you know what it was, but it was my thoughts. And so I prayed that scripture, Lord, help me to dwell on whatever's pure and holy, lovely, true. And so for a week I was like, God, I'm gonna pray for this for a week, you know. And but that was preached in a message, and that's where I got that from. And so I did that and I saw the Lord helped me, you know, that with my thoughts, just be more positive and things like that. And, but I think I'm kind of arguing for someone, I guess, that doesn't want to take notes. Maybe they're struggling with it, but I think because this would help me, but so be sensitive to what you should take notes about, but also be sensitive to what you should be doing in that service.
Yeah.
So be sensitive enough to God to put down your phone and be like, I actually need to go pray for that person now.
Yeah.
You know, not just take notes your whole time and the whole time. And so you're not involved in the service, you know, because that's my biggest downfall. I don't want to be taken away from the service.
Yeah. And so. I totally agree with that. What I would say for someone like that outside of note taking is we do have a devotional, as Philip mentioned, that comes out on Mondays that is a follow-up kind of to the message. That's a way that you can meditate, marinate on the word that's been said. And then we have the podcast that comes out on Friday. That's another way to kind of marinate, meditate in the word. Mm-hmm. And then I would encourage you, take that devotional and don't just kind of read over it, glance over it. Talk about it with your family or your friends or your group. Because I think the more you talk about the word and not just afterwards say, oh man, that was a great message. What do you think about it? Oh yeah, I thought it was great too. Really talk about this particular thing that Pastor Jared said really spoke to me Sunday. What spoke to you Sunday?
Yeah.
And if you begin to talk about what really spoke, the more it comes alive.
It's almost like it's, you're watering it.
Yeah.
In your heart. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I would say. If you don't take notes, at least let it come alive throughout the week so that 2 days later you haven't forgotten it. Because I believe every time the message goes forth, God is trying to plant a seed in your life for something. So don't just let that seed hit stony ground. If you are going to take notes, just what I would say is put it in your own words. So many times we're trying to remember exactly what the pastor said or the preacher said, but just put it in your own words, what it spoke to you directly in your own words. And that tends to help. So
I did look up something about note taking.
What you find?
If you take notes, it keeps you alert and your mind engaged. So
engagement.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It does help.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Talking about that, though, like back when I was in college, I always struggled taking notes sometimes because I felt like I was not focused
like
on
the super detailed notes.
Yeah, because for me, I had to really take deep notes, so I couldn't even hear what the person was speaking on. So, do y'all think we need to take super detailed notes during the sermons? I think you already were saying.
Yeah, I don't think so, but I mean, I would say I think it's a personality thing. My notes are probably more detailed than some people's, but I just as a general rule, if the preacher says you should write this down.
Write it down.
I write it down. And that's, I guess that's just a respect thing, but also I think it's, he probably feels like God gave him that as a key point that we need to walk away with. And so I write it down.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Or if, like I said, if God really speaks to me about something, then I write it down.
Yeah.
When it comes to engagement, I find that I know here at Point Church, we're constantly striving, number one, to be more anointed with our speaking, because I think the anointing in itself is engaging. We're trying to be more real. We're trying to be more relevant. And being real, I think, is engaging in itself as well. If you can relate to people in a real world way, it's going to help. And so what I'm saying there is some of engagement, I think, has to do with the speaker. We as speakers have a responsibility to put forth the word, like we say, in a relatable way that people can understand it first and then want to engage in it second.
Right.
So part of the responsibility falls on us, but I think as the listener too, part of the responsibility falls on us as someone in the audience. I think there's a dual relationship there. And if you look at the parable, when the word goes forth, the thing that determines the most, the success of the seed is the ground itself, the soil itself. So I think the soil has to be moldable and something to be planted in. So that's why I would say, if you're a note taker, take notes. If you're not, if you can't focus on the word, if you're trying to write down notes, then like you said, Danielle, maybe don't. But find other ways to marinate in it and move in it. But let the word come alive to you.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, just let it come alive to you. Another thing that he talked about, and we kind of mentioned this a little bit last week, we talked about the ministry of remembering, the importance of remembering some things from the past, and he brought this up in the message. Why do you think it's important that we remember? What is the power of remembering?
It keeps you from doing the same thing you did.
Yeah. Yeah. Learn so you don't repeat the same mistakes. Fall into the same traps.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I had. That we just don't want to repeat the same training. Yeah. God's putting you through something for a reason, and you don't want to repeat it.
For me though, it shows, I like to remember because it shows me the faithfulness of God. So that's why I remember.
Yeah, that's good. I think I was kind of studying this a little bit, and in the Old Testament especially, you see it a lot that God would tell them to remember so that they didn't serve the other gods of the other countries they were in.
Yeah.
And so to me, it's almost like God was saying, if you forget, it can lead to idolatry in your life. Like as long as you remember where you came from, you're not going to put anything else above me. Mm-hmm. As long as you can remember all the good things I've done for you, you're not going to start taking the credit for the things in your own life and the success that you had. You're going to remember, or you're going to know always, that it came from me. The blessing came from me. The benefit came from me. The lesson came from me. Like, it all came from me. And I think that's a big one, is we need to remember, because when we do forget, it can lead to things creeping up and taking God's place in our life. And I think that's dangerous.
Right. Yeah, and I think it's easy to forget. I mean, you're talking about the Israelites. They you know.
Have you ever read the Old Testament?
Yeah.
They're back and forth, back and forth.
They are. They forget, a lot, almost everything that God did for them. And they're wanting to go back and to their old ways, or they're worshiping other gods or something like that. So it is
God
really
told
easy.
Them to not forget, and then they would forget.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
and God would have to save them.
Yeah. I mean, and another reason to remember, I believe, is just so you can, I think we may have already said this, but teach others, but show others what happened in your life and how you can help them through that. So. It's a good reason, I believe.
Yeah, your kids.
Yeah.
Friends.
Yeah.
Next generation, sure. Pass it down.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, like that's the purpose of what happened to you. Maybe you think it's negative, but God can use it for good, because it can be a testimony in someone else, or for someone else to overcome.
Yeah, I love
encouragement.
That. What was that statement Pastor Jared made? One day you will tell your story of how you're overcome, and your story will be someone else's survival guide.
I remember that.
Yeah, I love that. That's a really good point. So this isn't mine. I read this statement, but when I read it, it was like so powerful. It made like all kind of thoughts go off in my mind. But the statement was simple. It just says that memory is used to shape identity. And that was a really powerful statement to me, because how true it is that your past does shape how you see yourself today, your identity today. And we need to remember so that we can always recognize our need of God. People say that you should live in the present, not get stuck in the past. That's how you ensure a better future. But I think more dangerous than that is sometimes we get stuck in the present. We become prisoners of this present moment, and we're not moving forward.
YOLO.
Well,
I said YOLO.
I think sometimes we need to end the present moment when we're a prisoner there and we're stuck there and we're afraid to move forward. Sometimes we need to look past that. You know what? God's got me through bigger things before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've faced bigger battles than this. I've faced bigger demons than this. I've been through things that, I know if he did it once, he's not going to let me down now. And I think looking back sometimes will give you that little push in the back to help you not stay stuck in the present moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. It builds faith for the future to know definitely. God has done things for you in the past.
Yeah, definitely. I think another benefit is it keeps you hungry.
For more of God?
Yeah, for more of God. It's like, for me personally, times in my life when I've, let's say, gotten lazy, content, and then something will come up and I'll remember powerful moves of God, or I'll remember God using me to do certain things. And mm-hmm. it's like, what am I doing? Like, I'm just sitting here content doing nothing right now, when I could be doing so much more. And so sometimes that memory from the past will spur
mm-hmm.
spur action.
Yeah, I can see that. I've seen that in my life.
You kind of hold yourself accountable to what you used to do or how you've been. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just believe that God is constantly trying to evolve us, trying to grow us, mature us. And so if I did that 2 years ago, I should be doing more today. And if I'm
we're
not
supposed to be growing, healthy people grow.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I love that. Healthy people grow. That's good. And we're supposed to be doing it. And if I'm not, then what's my problem? Like, what's stopping me? What's blocking me? What's keeping me from doing it? So I think the past is powerful from that.
So it can help you examine yourself then.
Yeah.
And be like, what do I need to get out? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
It's good.
You got anything else over there, Dr. Phil?
I'm good. I had some thoughts, but I think we're going to hit them up in a little bit. So I want to wait.
Okay. What if we don't?
Well, I mean, I can throw them out. I mean, just talking about memory, remembering.
Uh-huh.
And you talked about the type of soil you are, and I was just thinking how you need to make sure that things in your past, they don't harden you, but they humble you, and that you let God use it to teach you and to cultivate you, kind of in a way, so that seed that you hear during sermons and other things actually can grow within your life.
Yeah.
If you let it harden you instead of, you know, humbling you and cultivating you, then, you know, it'll just fall on hard ground, which may shoot up, but it can't grow.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, that's that parable.
Yeah. So. That's great. And that kind of does segue into the next question that we have is, how do we form our memories to become stepping stones instead of stumbling blocks? Because if we're not careful, the past can be this place that holds us hostage, and we never move past it. God's constantly trying to get us to move. And it's like we have this struggle with grace where God touches us in a service and we feel, okay, I finally got past this. But then the next day we're back tripping over the same thing again. And it's not even that we're committing the same sin or falling over the same thing. It's that it's the memory that we can't get past, and it's the pain that we can't get past, or it's the abuse that we can't get past, or whatever it is in your life. It's this thing that you can't get past. And how do we take those painful memories or those mistakes, those whatever the situation is in your own personal life, how do we turn those into stepping stones instead of continually tripping over them?
I would say choose to remember the good part about your past, so the part that God helped you overcome, and not the bad part, the sin. Think of it like this. If you were never sick, you would never need know God as a healer. If you were never in need, you would never know God as a provider, and et cetera. So our need or shortcoming can allow us to know God in a more intimate way.
Yeah, that's very
good. So it's shifting your perspective, and we've touched on that in past podcasts. So
yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Corey, I ask her, I talk to her about this kind of stuff a lot. And like when we're doing preparing for the podcast, I ask her that particular question because that was one that I was really curious to see what she would say. And her answer kind of tied into yours, Danielle. She said, ask God to bring truth to you from the memory. And I was like, what do you mean from that? And she said, a lot of times we only view our interpretation of the event.
Yeah,
and
that's good.
our interpretation may or may not be right, that it's usually it's going to have some kind of flaw or some kind of skewedness in it.
Or whatever we felt when going through it.
Yeah, the our emotion is going to cloud our judgment. And, and she said, we should sincerely ask, God, I know how I see it, but what is the truth from the situation? What actually happened? What were you trying to reveal to me through this? And then she said this, she said, it's all about God sightings. When you look at your past, it's about God sightings. Are you looking for God in your past, or are you looking for a problem in your past? Because she said, you're going to see what you're looking for. Right. If you're looking for God in your past, you'll find him.
Yeah.
If you're just looking for the problem and the pain, then that's what you're going to see. It. And so that was pretty good, Corey.
Way to go.
Finally a good point in this podcast.
Wow. I mean, you got your wife over here.
Okay, other than my wife. I mean, I'm just saying, for John to have a good point, he had to clearly talk to his wife.
Well, that's fine. Throw shade at me, but not at her, man. Come on.
No, that was a great point. Wow. That's life-changing if you let it really sink in. And
I don't think I've ever prayed that before. I mean,
Yeah,
I'll pray it's when I get home.
Challenge us. Yeah, it's going to be a challenge for me and Danielle here.
Yeah. Another one for me, and you'll say this isn't as good, but this is my answer, is accept God's grace. Just accept God's grace for your past, whether it's a mistake or things that's happened to you still, accept God's grace in the past. And some people say this is, in my opinion, more worldly terminology, but some people say you have to forgive yourself. I don't like that terminology per se. I understand what people's trying to say. And to some extent, you do have to let things go. But to me, you can't forgive yourself. You don't have the power to really forgive yourself. I think the more Christian definition would be accept the grace that's been given to you.
Yeah.
If you can learn the power of God's grace, like he's already covered it. He died for it. He wanted you to overcome the mistake and the past and the failure and the pain and the hurt. He wanted you to overcome that so bad that he made a way. He became the way for you to overcome it. Accept that and walk in that. Stop wallowing in the mistake or in the bad decision, in the bad choice. Get over the bad choice. Get over the bad decision. You do that through walking in his grace. And when you accept that forgiveness and walk in that forgiveness, I think that is what people mean when they say, what Christians mean when they say you have to forgive yourself.
Yeah.
So to me, it's not about just saying, you know what, I have to let this go. You do, but the way you let it go is understand what God did for you.
Yeah, that's a good point. Cause I mean, if you're forgiving yourself, then you know, in a way you're cutting God out of the loop and then, you're not accepting his grace. So it's humbling to realize you can't forgive yourself.
Yeah.
And it's really God's grace that's, you know, the reason that you can move past this. I like that. And that it is, like you said, it's really, really what we're trying to say, or some people are trying to say whenever they say it, you know, but it's less demanding upon you that you have to somehow.
It's freeing in a way is because I think a lot of people struggle with that is I can't forgive myself for what I did. You don't have to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He forgave you. Walk in that grace. Like you made the mistake. Now just own it. Walk in the grace that you've been given. And I really think that's much more free than trying to physically make myself forgive myself for things.
Because we're our worst judge a lot of times. So
we're very critical.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not even things that, and I know we keep saying the mistakes or whatever, own the mistake, whatever, but sometimes it's things that happened to you that were beyond your control. But but our mind, the way it works is we still feel guilty about those things. I should have said something. I shouldn't have let it happen. I shouldn't have. And the bottom line is it happened. Like now you have to deal with what is. And the way you do that is. And I'm not trying to belittle anything, but or make things too simplistic, but accept his grace. It's there.
I think a way to do that too is to know, because I've beat myself up over past things and stuff before. What would happen though is I would isolate myself and thinking I'm the only one who's ever done something this bad. But what did help me overcome is actually realizing, you know, all around me, there's people who fail every day.
Yeah.
But God still loves them. God helps them. You know, like there's people in ministry that you know, I think that are just so great. But the thing is, they've fallen too before. Yeah. I just don't know.
Yeah.
And so whenever that realization came to my mind, I realized I can do something great for God too. God loves me just as much. So I think if you're struggling out there, and, you know, just don't think you're the only one. You're not. That's pretty good. I mean, God's grace is for everyone, and you can make it.
Yeah, that's very good. Just like Pastor Jared in the message, at one point he used the verse that says, "For all have sinned." Like, mm-hmm. every one of us has missed the mark.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There's no one in this room.
So
there's
people
no
need
one...
to start really listening to that. Yeah. Like, open up your ears and really hear that.
Yeah, you do. There's no one in this room, no one in this church, no one in any church that has not missed the mark at some point. And every one of us need the grace of God.
Yep.
I need it every day.
Me too.
I need God's grace all the time.
Too. Oh, yes.
Wink, wink.
Oh, yeah. And I do. It's just, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Lots of yes. This is what I'm trying to say. Yes.
Well, that's good. Another thing I think, too, is when you look at your past, kind of reframe it if possible. And reframe it would be, I may have failed, but I don't have to be a failure. I think the enemy a lot of time wants you to
identify.
Yeah. He wants you to identify with your mistake. And if we're not careful, sometimes we even do that to other people is we view them. What's the old saying? It takes 20 years to build a good reputation and 5 minutes to destroy it. And that statement is very true. But a lot of times what we do is we look at someone in their worst moment, and that's what we use to define them. And I think God does. Well, obviously, God does the opposite. He uses his best moment to define us and not our worst moment. And how powerful.
Yeah.
How powerful is that? Mm-hmm. His best moment is when he defeats sin and he defeats darkness and he says, if you'll just walk in my grace, live for me, humble yourself, serve me, keep my commandments. My best moment is what I see when I look at you.
That's good. When you were explaining that, something just popped up in my head that I feel like I'm completely delivered from now. But when I was young, my parents got divorced when I was 7. And it bothered me so bad that any conversation I ever had with someone, I would say, I'm Danielle and my parents are divorced. That's mm-hmm. how I literally identified myself.
Yeah.
And I would just, apparently I needed counseling or something. And I didn't even realize that. I don't do that now. I mean, it's been a long time, but.
Yeah, she stopped on after our first date.
He's like, why do you say that?
I did. Just kidding.
But anyway, so it just made me think.
Yeah. That's good. That's really good.
Yeah.
Now, talking about that, like identifying with it, I can remember back whenever we used to play basketball. Originally, when we first started, I kind of identified as like myself as like, I guess, clumsy. I mean, I still kind of am clumsy, but I'm not.
Clumsy? You want to talk about the fridge?
Yeah. We can't get into that. Oh, no.
So they bought a brand new fridge.
We got to clue them in.
They bought a brand new fridge and had it for like,
it's beautiful.
What, 30 minutes?
It was just that first day. Yeah, it was the first day.
It was the first day it was installed.
And Philip comes walking through with a handful of tools and slams into the refrigerator.
With the drill.
I didn't slam into it. I just took a thin layer of paint off the front of one of them.
And it has a nice, about, what like, is it, like a
12-inch long line. Yeah. Probably like 5. You're right. More like 5 inches.
Scrape.
That's terrible.
Just dug right into the paint.
Right in viewpoint.
I tried my best to rub it. I was like, come on, just blend it.
I was there when it happened. It was a very terrible moment.
Yes.
I might have called Philip clumsy.
What I'm trying to say is that, I don't see myself so much as that anymore. Like when we first started playing basketball, I could not catch a ball when they threw it at me for nothing. And I would just like get mad at myself and call myself all kinds of stuff probably. And then, you know, after a while I stopped doing that and I actually could, you know, I was never great at basketball. If I started playing now, I probably still wouldn't be great, but you know, I started actually being able to catch the ball because I didn't identify as being such a,
you started klutz. Identifying yourself as Michael Jordan.
So basically
what we're saying is that God reframes your identity in his mind. Yeah. Start seeing yourself the way that God sees you and stop seeing yourself the way that the enemy wants
you to see you. The negative filter that you have on you.
Yes. The enemy always wants to bring condemnation when God's trying to bring conviction. Like, God doesn't ignore our past. He wants us to grow from our past. And so there is this conviction that will come. Godly sorrow brings conviction. So it's okay to, when you make a mistake, own the mistake, feel the pain, feel the hurt, feel the sorrow, as the Bible says, but understand that that's God prompting you to do better. That's right. God prompting you to grow. The enemy sees that moment. I'm a full believer that the enemy sees that moment when God's trying to bring growth from your past and growth from your pain. And he tries to step into that moment and prevent the growth by turning that conviction into condemnation. And if you live in that condemnation, you get the attitude, well, I can never measure up. And Pastor Jerry kind of talked about this. I can never measure up. I can never be good enough. I can never be anointed enough. I can never. And so you're constantly chasing this perfection, which we talked about in last episode.
Yep.
You're constantly chasing this perfection to somehow qualify yourself to be used of God or to have a relationship with God. And God's like, but you can never be qualified. It's not about a qualification.
Yeah.
I'm qualifying you. So,
And guilt pushes you away. So eventually you're just going to throw in the towel.
Yeah.
If that's the way you live your whole life, your whole walk with God.
Yeah. That's a great point.
Yeah.
Adam and Eve sinned.
You can't obtain it by yourself.
The first thing that happened, they got guilty, felt shame, and shame pushed them away from his presence. Yep. That's a very good point.
That's one thing. And I've told Philip this before, how to distinguish if God's talking to you or it's the devil. If you feel guilty about it, then it's the devil. You know, if you feel convicted, it's God. And conviction brings you closer to God. Guilt drives you away from God. So, and God also will give you an avenue to him. If you have no way, if you feel like there's no way to God, then that's obviously the devil. Yeah,
exactly. That's very good. Very good. If you didn't hear anything else and you're struggling with your past, take what we've talked about in the past 5 minutes and let God speak to you there. I really feel God moving. I think God's trying to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
So, take a listen. One thing he talked about, segueing into the next part, he talked about finding your purpose, living in your purpose. And we're not going to talk about purpose because we've talked about that a lot over some of the past few podcasts. Mm-hmm. But he did say, how do you find your purpose? And he said, the answer is seek the kingdom first. If you'll seek the kingdom first, you can rest assured that you'll walk in your purpose. So if that's the goal, is to seek the kingdom first, what are some practical ways that we could seek the kingdom first in our own life?
Well, obviously pray.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we touch on that like every podcast.
But that's good.
Yeah, that was my first point.
Did you look at my list, Danielle?
I didn't.
Are you stealing his stuff again?
I know it. But all your good points tonight have come from me.
Stole mine.
I will do my normal plug of an app. I mean, I'm still plugging that app. The Pastor Jared brought up, you know, pray first. I'm just saying it goes right well with that point.
Have you used that app?
I have. Not since the last podcast, but I have used it and I will
Philip
keep using
Spence,
it.
You need to be using that.
Okay.
I need prayer every day.
Okay.
Yeah. I just flashed back to that episode a long time ago where Philip went on a 5-minute infomercial about some app and me and Deron were like, so does it work good? And Philip's like, I don't know. I never tried it. And it's like, how are you talking to us for 5 minutes about this app that you've never even used? So at least this time you've used it.
I have. And I really do enjoy it. I talked about it last time. I just haven't. Yeah. I've got to use it a little bit more and actually start, because it's got a place for like prayer requests and stuff like that. Yeah. I struggle, like we said earlier, taking notes on the things I need to take notes on sometimes. But hey, that's I'm going to start using it. I'm going to next podcast. Going to have some more use of it.
Well, that's good. Now, I can say I have used this app as well, the Pray First app, and I love the app. It is a very good app.
I have not used the app.
It's helped me formulate Danielle's, some things in prayer.
Danielle's appless. I'm all about the apps.
So I have a funny story. We went to Six Flags, me, my friend Kelly, my brother Dylan, and Philip. Okay, and my brother is very country and very just down to earth, which Philip's down to earth too, but he's not techie at all.
Yeah.
Okay. And so we are, me and Philip are, you know, trying to get around this park, and Philip pulls up the app. Like, so Six Flags has an app, but Philip pulls it up constantly to check wait times, to order food, to like do everything. And Dylan one day, my brother, he makes the comment to Kelly, but I overheard, he goes, Philip and his app. He's like, there's his app again. It was hilarious.
I can definitely see it. It is true.
So Philip uses apps more than I do, yes.
Yes,
Philip,
I have an app for everything.
Philip is the kind of person that if he's driving across town, which here in this town, Church Point, is like a 5-minute drive at most, Philip will.
Metropolis of Church Point. Yes,
he will turn on his navigation on his phone.
He will.
To get somewhere he knows where he's already going.
You never know when there's a traffic jam in Church Point.
I was going to say, just to see if there's a traffic jam somewhere else. So
traffic, this is the big metropolis of Church Point. Sometimes that's traffic jams.
He checks the weather at 5 different locations, places he's not even going to travel to.
Like different job sites, places where Danielle's lived, where I've lived.
But you're not going there this week, so why check the weather?
It's just needed. I like to know how weather's going. Look.
So he has talking points.
Yes, it's what I do.
Okay, so so there's Philip's apps. So go ahead.
I have another point. I was going to recommend another app.
Oh gosh,
the YouVersion Bible.
Well, hold on. Let me since we
we haven't talked about the
rambled
point.
There. Let me remind people what we're talking about is practical ways that we can seek the kingdom first. So talk about your second app.
Yeah. So this one's I mean pretty much everybody knows about this one. It's the YouVersion Bible.
Yeah.
Or a Bible app, but that one's really good. You can actually. Pretty sure there's a way to compare Bibles and stuff in there. So it goes into deeper stuff. It's not like as deep as like the Blue Letter Bible app.
Yeah.
But, you know, it has some really cool stuff. And you can even listen to it in many, many different versions of it you can listen to. The King James Version, NLT, NIV, whatever version you want. There's probably a way you can listen to it or you can read it. And then there's lots of plans. There's just tons of plans on there.
Lots of devotionals too.
Lots of devotionals, yes. Well, I'm doing one that's called a devotion, but it's really a plan, I guess, is what it really
You're
is.
Doing
it's
a Bible project.
It's a Bible project, but it's the Bible in a year kind of thing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But there's so many other different versions. You don't have to do that. You can do something more similar to what Jonathan's talking about earlier, where you're just hitting a couple scriptures and you can really dwell on them a lot longer.
You're discussing tools to help keep God first.
Right? Yeah, that's just a tool to you know help keep him first. It's something that keeps it right at your fingertips.
Yeah, because everybody has
and
a
it'll
phone,
even remind right? you. You know, it'll bug you at a certain time of the day. Like, hey, you haven't read the Bible today. Read it.
Yeah. And I think that's a key point is one of the main things we have to do to keep the kingdom first is submit our flesh continually. Mm-hmm. I was having a conversation with one of my kids the other day and just reminding them, and we have this conversation often, that you have your spirit, you have your flesh, and they're always at war with each other. I mean, the Bible says that. They're constantly fighting each other. Mm-hmm. You have to keep your spirit strong so that your flesh doesn't win out, and you have to try to keep your flesh submitted. And the way we do that is we talked about prayer, but fasting, I think, is another way that we don't talk about too often, but I think it's still a valuable tool to keep our flesh submitted and to keep the kingdom first, because ultimately, as long as our flesh is in control, it's going to be about our kingdom, not his kingdom. And we have to keep our flesh submitted if the kingdom's going to be right. first.
The number one thing I think fasting has taught me is just how to say no.
Yeah.
It literally... And when I can't tell myself no anymore, I probably need to fast.
Yeah, so, that's good.
Which it's good to have like a weekly fast time. Mm-hmm.
That's why I've been fasting a lot, so I could tell you no about the fiddle fig.
I don't mean no to your wife. I mean no to
fiddle figs.
To your flesh, your flesh. Not her flesh.
We are one flesh, so no fiddle figs.
Oh, here we go.
Wow. But I do have an example for this. Can you tell the point again to listeners?
So ways that we can seek the kingdom first.
Okay, so this has to do with reading your Bible. So I read the Bible. I try to read the Bible before I do anything entertaining, for example. And I've just tried to live by this because Facebook can be so consuming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I will not get on Facebook until I've read the Bible that day, at least a chapter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that... It helps set things in priority.
Yeah, that's good.
You know,
good.
God, I'm going to... And then I do that with the Bible as well. Like, I won't read another book until I've read the Bible a day. That's why I haven't finished Boundaries. You know, I've been reading the Bible.
Well, I can't. That's
every time
good,
I go read,
reason,
I'm
yeah.
reading the Bible. But, and so, yeah.
That's a good reason.
They're just practical things. It's like little rules of thumb. Okay, I'm not going to do that until I do this.
That's
you know?
Good. I love that.
And it really helps. So, I'm not perfect with it, but I definitely do it more than not.
And that app Philip mentioned, Pray First, I think it's more than just the app itself. I think the principle, Pray First, I think is key. You're talking about reading first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a principle.
In my life, it's mornings that I get up and don't pray. And yes, I have those mornings, ashamedly, I will admit it. I have those mornings I get up and I just hit the floor running and I forget that I need to pray first.
Yeah.
it's easier to make decisions that are flesh-based when I haven't had that moment in prayer. But when I start my day earnestly saying, God, help me value you in everything I do today and help me make the right decisions today. Help me walk in your purpose today and in your will today. And then 30 minutes later, I'm faced with a flesh choice. And then that prayer comes back. You know what? You prayed that God would, that, you know, you'd be in the moment and that it's just a lot harder to slip into fleshly things.
What I think it really does, what I think prayer does really, because whenever I don't pray, I struggle with this. But when I pray, it's almost like you're talking to the one who controls everything and it gives you a peace to know that whatever happens today, I already talked to God about it. I know he's going to work it out and he's going to help me make the right. It's almost like because you prayed, you have this strong, you know, you have God who's so strong on your side.
Yeah.
And so it's a confidence that's with you. Whenever I don't pray, I don't have that confidence. So then I'm worried. Is this the right move? Is this the, my attitude probably stinks today, you know, et cetera. Yeah, yeah. So it's like just the prayer gives you confidence
That's
to walk
awesome.
In the spirit.
Yeah. It does. It definitely does. The first thing I would say is we talked about prayer and stuff like that. But the first thing I would say, if you want to seek the kingdom first, is understand that it's a kingdom, not a democracy. And I think that's one thing good. That we struggle with a lot. We forget that God really is sovereign, especially here in America, where we've got so many freedoms and opportunities. We forget that God is sovereign. And we need to remember this if we're really going to put the kingdom first. We don't like words, especially the younger generations now. I consider myself younger generation. But we don't like words like obedience and submission and serving and surrender. But those are words that are very important if we're going to put the kingdom first. We're going to have to do those things if we're going to put his kingdom above our own. So I would say it's a mindset. We got to wake up every day and in prayer remind ourselves, I need the kingdom mindset. I need to understand I'm a servant here. I'm not the master. I'm just along for the ride. I'm not the one steering the ship. And I think, like you said, Danielle, there is a confidence to that, knowing that no matter what comes, God, ultimately, this is your day. I'm just living in it. Help me do it the best I can. You're in control.
Yeah. I think we had talked about like a few weeks ago, like the person who would come in the name of the king kind of thing.
Yeah.
He was just a servant, but he had a lot of authority because of who he was with.
Submitted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was trying to think. Yeah, I mean, for us in America, especially, I think, never really been out of the country too much, but we've never been under in a monarchy. I think that's how you call it, what you call it. And so we're used to individualism, those kind of things. We're not under some person who has all authority, at least not so much as that. So it is, we're much more about being an individual in America. So it is, like you were saying, it's harder to be in submission or obedience.
The culture
we have is pretty much saying rebel, go against the grain kind of thing. So,
that's true.
Another thing that I think is a practical way to seek the kingdom first, is to join a grow group, surround yourself with people that are wanting to grow in God, in a relationship, seek people that are there to help build you up in that way. So I think that's a good way.
And that might mean change who you're hanging around, you know?
Yeah.
So the Connect groups help you because they give you friends that want to live for God too.
Yeah.
So if you're struggling with that, you know?
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be hard to seek the kingdom if you're hanging around people who are putting the world above everything all the time.
Yeah.
And there's
a constant resistance to trying to follow God, you know, because who you're around.
Exactly. I think another one too is, and this is a rule that I try to live by, is grace first always. I think if you really want to seek the kingdom first, what better way to do that than to live in a way that the kingdom is all about? The kingdom is all about others. It's all about people. It's all about bettering others. And extending grace, extending mercy, and you know, you can even go to the extreme and say your enemies. Jesus said, "Pray for them, love them." Hard to do, but that's a kingdom principle. And I think
he even said, "Give them food."
Yeah.
He said, "If you're given to your friends, even the even bad people give their friends."
What a verse, man! What a wake up call. That's a powerful statement when Jesus tells them. even the sinners do this.
Yeah.
Like, why do you applaud yourself that you're taking care of people that you care about? Even sinners do this.
Yeah.
Can you love those that are trying to despitefully use you? Can you love those that are trying to hurt you? Can you love your enemy?
Hey, that's hard.
Yeah, it is hard. It's very hard.
It's but hard.
I think that's it's a kingdom principle. And so I think grace first always is, I think if we would apply grace, there's nothing we could do better as a kingdom focus, I think, than try to show grace.
Yeah, I think trying to live, looking at the way he talked about that, you realize we're all just trying to walk towards what God has for us.
Yeah.
There's nothing, there's too many people out there living, truly, fully living that. I know I'm not always, you know, it's to always be loving and helping to other people that are trying to destroy you.
Yeah.
That's a hard philosophy thing to actually point towards and go toward, but it's something that's,
I think it's an incredible principle, because if you can master that, then it's going to be much easier when you see someone else in need to take care of that need. I think we, especially as a culture today, I think a lot of times it's not that we don't want to help other people. I think we're just so geared to intrinsically think that we don't even recognize a need when it's in front of us. And I think that's something that the modern church is going to have to overcome. We're going to have to get out of a mindset of thinking about me and mine, and as long as we've got it all together. We're so busy that we walk right past people all the time that are struggling with things and don't even recognize the struggle. I think that if we're going to seek the kingdom first, we're going to have to become more aware of the opportunities that are in front of us when it comes to
this
to
actually others. Reminded me of a book I read. Let me think of the title. Hold on. Rotativity. And it was a really great book. Wilson. I'm trying to remember.
Eugene Wilson.
Thank you. He has written a lot of books. Uh-huh. And I actually got to hear him speak before too, like teach a workshop. But anyways, in this book, and this is the one thing I've taken away from the book. Uh-huh. He literally said, I pray in the day that God help me. I know you want. This is how he said. He said, I know you want to do good things today. I know you want to save people today. I know you want to deliver people. You want to do good things today.
Yeah.
And I know I'm in the way.
Yeah.
So God help me to get out of the way.
Wow.
So you can do those things.
Yeah.
And what that meant was we are stuck with our viewing, you know, maybe we're just looking inward all the time.
Yeah.
Or we're like you were just talking about, we're so busy that we can't, see other people's needs. But what that prayer does is that it helps you actually maybe think of other people today or see other needs or whatever. Does that make
sense? Oh, yeah. It makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's perfect. So, what'd you say the name of the book was?
Rotativity. It's a word he made up.
How do you spell rodent? Because I'm going to look it up.
Well, I don't know.
Okay. Our homework.
Rodentivity.
Yeah. It's like a rodent and it's the activity.
Rodent?
Rodent. Yeah, so it's, you know, a rodent that spins on a wheel and never gets anywhere.
Ah.
Yeah, that's where he got the
word from. Rotativity from Eugene Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right, cool. I'm going to look this up. So I encourage you. Much, sounds like a great book. Look it up.
Yeah, he has several others that I'm going to read all of them. So.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that's a good point. And, you know, like you were saying, prayer, fasting, things that kill your flesh there. And that's what his prayer is about pretty much, just getting your flesh out of the way so that God can. Like you said, God wants to do all these things, amazing things.
And that kind of circles back to praying the kingdom at the beginning. God, help me at the beginning of the day. God, frame my day, frame my mindset that I can walk in your purpose today, that I can see the opportunities in front of me.
And also just pray before you make a decision. Like, it doesn't have to be a long prayer, you know. Just if you build that habit, like me and Philip bought a riding lawnmower off of Facebook Marketplace. And it's funny because we bought it and he goes, and then it couldn't start because he just maybe couldn't start it. Maybe not. I don't know. He got his dad to help him. But anyways.
And it started right up?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the story of my life.
But he goes later, he tells me, he's like, I don't even know if I prayed about that decision. And like, you know, Pastor Jared speaking to Philip, like, oh, I need to be praying about this. But I go, well, I did.
Yeah.
And
good.
And I prayed that because I know how God works.
Yeah.
If you pray about it, God can. I fully believe 100%. He will not let something go through if you genuinely prayed. And so I knew, God, just something. Don't let us be able to get the money. Don't let us let this guy be out of town, whatever. I knew something could come up if we weren't supposed to get the mower.
Yeah.
And so I have faith that it's going to work. God allowed us to get it. So it's somehow going to last us.
So far, it's $600. Well, I shouldn't say the price, I guess, but yeah, I guess it don't matter. $600 per mow. So it'll keep going down half per mow. So,
you know, that's a great point, Danielle. I remember when I was a teenager, my mom and dad, but especially my mom, had found this house, kind of like y'all did, mm-hmm. that she just loved, and she really wanted this house. And our story turned out a little bit different. I mean, she went, and I don't know how drastic y'all got with it, but she went, and I know y'all visited it several times, but mm-hmm. she like anointed the driveway multiple times, prayed over it, walked around the yard praying. It's like, wow. God, give us this house and all of that. Well,
this was your mom?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Back when I was a teenager, and it all fell through, and we didn't get the house. Someone else wound up buying it. We didn't really get a good explanation for why they accepted that offer and not ours. They were pretty similar offers, you know, we just lost it. And my mom was devastated. Well, it was like 3 months into the house purchase that the people who bought it found out that there was all kind of the water lines and the piping and all through the walls were all messed up, and they had to do like $60,000 worth of work to get that repaired.
That's what God does.
Yeah, he does.
That is what God does.
Yeah, he does that.
So if you're praying about something and it's not happening, he's protecting you from something. Keep praying it, and you know, move on. Don't let it discourage you so bad that you stop. She could have stopped praying for the house. That's not what God wants you to do.
Yeah.
Keep praying. Just understanding he loves you so much, he didn't want you to get that.
Sometimes no is a blessing. So the last thing that we have to really talk about, and we won't spend too much time here, is Pastor Jared brought out the scripture, and this is going to be a question, but it's a redundant question. Do all things really work together for good? That's the question. Do all things really work together for good?
It doesn't always seem like it, though.
But I can remember back. I mean, this is a long story in a way, but I'll try to keep it short.
You promise?
I was a weird kid. I promise.
Keep a long. Somebody said before.
Short story long.
No, keep a long story medium.
Keep a long story medium.
That's what you usually do. Is keep a short story long.
Keep a short story long. So I was kind of a strange kid, and Jonathan can attest to that. But I can remember back when I was. I always would love to take pictures and everything. And one youth retreat, someone handed me a camera. And said, just start videoing this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was Phil Moody, actually. He handed me the camera and said, hey, just start videoing this, you know, whatever. And from there, it grew. And, you know, I didn't expect to keep using video as a ministry. Through different things, we've made videos, like testimonial videos. But then we've also now I'm doing live streaming, and you know I believe it's a ministry. I believe God started that small thing, that weird, that strange kid who just picked up a camera because someone handed it to him and told him to start doing it, probably to get him to walk away. I don't know, get away from me, but not really. But God's used it in ways that I never would have imagined. So I really believe God does use all things together for good.
Yeah.
That's my story. I'm sticking to it.
For me, I mean, the Bible says that, you know, there's that scripture, all things work together for good. I think it's really important to remember there, though, that it doesn't say you're good. Mm-hmm. So many people want to misquote that and say,
that's
going to work together for my good. No, it's not.
Yeah.
It'll work together according to God's purpose.
Yeah.
And so then my mind goes to Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
So he was, he was sold into slavery and didn't see his family for years, but... when a famine was in the land, all the bad, quote unquote, bad things that had happened to him was actually good because he was in the right place and position to be able to provide food for God's people.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't seem like God was working in that situation, but he was. So that's why it's so important to trust God and know that he's really working it for the good.
The good.
Well, the good. I mean, if you're doing what you should be doing, I mean, well, at least what we all should be doing. And that's is, you know, being part of God's kingdom, then it is our good as well. Yeah. I think because if we're wanting what God wants and we're having a heart like David after God's heart, then whenever something happens that's good for the kingdom, it'll be good for us as well.
Right.
It just depends on how you frame it, I guess, kind of thing.
Yeah.
If you're wanting, you know, like, well, all things work together for good. This is going to lead to me becoming a billionaire. You know, it may not happen. Mm-hmm. And that may not be God, may not be the good, you know, because you becoming that billionaire may pull you out of church for mm-hmm. you at least, you know, but not everybody.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I believe.
Think of the cross, like yeah. what Jesus
that
wasn't, did.
Was didn't that feel good,
good
probably.
For him? Yeah. Not really. Yeah. He not was for his flesh.
Yeah, his flesh was.
But it asking, worked for the good.
Yeah.
How many people get to?
It's true. Very true. That's a good point.
I think it goes to where your mindset is. If you're viewing earthly good, it's not always going to work out for your earthly good. But I think if you're viewing eternal good, then you may go through some things right now that aren't going to be good and may not turn out, as Danielle's saying, good for you. It may turn out good for the big picture, but in eternity, where it really matters, where the real rewards are, it's going to work out for your good. I truly believe that. I truly do believe that. I mean, I think if you look at the apostles, every one of them, I believe, but one died some crazy death. So it was.
I just finished reading Acts, and Paul was in prison for like 2 years, and then
for
a long time, but.
So I think it would be inaccurate to say that there's this promise that every time, if we truly live for God, it's always going to be pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. And sometimes things will end different than we really wanted them to. And we still believe God and we still trust God. I think that the scripture talks about knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character hope. And I think the greatest hope we have is eternity. And so if we keep persevering, if we keep pushing, if we keep putting him first, no matter what happens, that perseverance always produces hope. That's the end result. And that hope in the life to come, in my relationship with him, I think that settles everything.
Yeah, I like when things point my focus upward.
Yeah.
Instead of, because when you get comfortable here on earth, you'll just start, you know, being comfortable and being happy with the things you have. But whenever a trial comes, I'll thank God. I'll be like, God, thank you, because you actually realign my focus again with what really matters.
Yeah, that's so good. So. And I think a lot of times when we're so focused on the reward here, I think that's anti what God's really wanting from us anyway. Yeah. He's saying, will you please look at the big picture? Will you please understand that you're gonna have ups and downs, you're gonna go through mountains and valleys, you're gonna win some and lose some, but understand I'm gonna use every moment to teach you, to mature you, to grow you, so that at the end of the day you can stand in front of me and I'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's the ultimate goal.
That's the good
I wanna hear,
that you want
to
hear.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get you towards. So I think that's a perfect place to end, guys. That's a wrap. So thank you.
I feel like we said a lot of good things.
Join us for our extended podcast for the rest of my story.
Yeah, you had more story. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just kidding.
Sorry, but I am going to cut you off here. I think it's a perfect place to end. And and then I won't have to edit it out later. So thanks, guys, for tuning in. Till next time, peace.
Bye.
Farewell.
Au revoir. So, guys, if you like what you heard, please take a moment to subscribe to What's the Point Podcast on your preferred listening platform.
Yeah, you can check it out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. You can even find us on our website, point.church. Just go over to the media tab or a section in the menu and then click on podcast. And one other way that I really recommend is download our app. And inside there, you can go into the bottom right corner. There's a section called more. You're going to scroll all the way down. And then if you scroll down, you'll see podcast. Click on that and you'll get to see all the last podcasts that we've done over the last 4 seasons.
Yes, the app is great. So is the website, point.church. It's really a one-stop shop. We have our links for everything on the website, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. You can even go in there to watch their services live. You can buy merch. You can watch archives of old services. A lot can be done there at point.church.
Oh, yeah. I highly recommend watching one of our services. It's a great thing to do. You can also request prayer. You can join one of our groups. Or you can join or view our Start Here campaign if you would like to visit in person.
Yeah, and that's a very great place to start is the Start Here. It will tell you everything you need to know about what to expect if you plan on attending one of our services on campus. And let me say, we would love to meet you in person. Our services are every Sunday at 8:30 a.m. and 10 a.m. and then every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And I can speak for all of us. We hope to see you soon.